Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Starship Troopers, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love Space Corps. We've got that story, plus Bayer gets stung by funding their own opposition. But first, between the amazing CNN blackmail meme wars being waged as we speak, and following up on last week's nothing burger buffet of dinosaur media fails, corporate media achieved new levels of absurdity that you may have even missed last week. Like when Jesse Ball, writing an op-ed for the Los Angeles Times, suggested every American be required to spend a stint behind bars every decade as a veritable guarantee to improve conditions of incarceration in the United States. In the piece titled, Everyone Should Go to Jail, Say, Once Every 10 Years, and I like how even he adds the word say within there, that makes it sound like the idea is just coming off the, say, top of his head. Jesse Ball writes, quote, a notable demand that is made upon the citizens of the United States of America is that of jury duty. Although many despise, hate, and avoid it, there's a general sense that the task is necessary. We believe a society is only just if everyone shares in the apportionment of guilt. To this demand of jury duty, Jesse Ball would like to add another, and in the same spirit. I propose that all citizens of the United States should serve a brief sentence of incarceration in our maximum security penitentiaries. This service, which would occur for each person once in a decade, would help ensure that the quality of life within our prisons is sufficient for the keeping of human beings. So some nations that love war have forced military conscription or national service, so why shouldn't a nation that loves locking up more people per capita than any other nation in the world, why shouldn't the USSA roll out this sort of scared straight on steroids, James? I ask very tongue-in-cheek.
Well, you know, actually, I kind of like this idea. I think this is a great idea, but I'd like to make a little amendment. I don't think every person should be forced to do this every 10 years, say. I think maybe it should just be the criminal psychopaths who want to go into positions of power over other people, i.e. politicians. Just politicians should have to serve time in a maximum security penitentiary for, say, I don't know, 10 years before they go into office. If they just serve 10 years in maximum security prison before going into office, it's still not ideal. I'm still an anarchist. I still think we should transition out of the infantile need for leaders to govern our society. But in the meantime, if we just throw all would-be politicians in jail for 10 years after they win the election on election night, you have some police take them away, shove them in a prison cell. Maybe not just maximum security. Maybe we actually need to put them in the hole, put them in solitary for 10 years, and then they can come out and see how best they can govern the country based on that knowledge that they've acquired. Yes, this is a stupid idea. The fact that this gets space in the Los Angeles Times just goes to show how utterly ridiculous and useless and meaningless the LA Times and all of their MSM cohorts have become in this era, because I think there was a time in which if there was an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times, that might have meant something and might have sparked a conversation in the population. Now it is just fodder for ridicule on the internet, which is about what the MSM should be anyway. But I still like my idea better. Let's just preemptively throw the crooks and criminals in jail, the politicians.
Some of the other candidates being offered up in some of the comments related to this story are the people who run the for-profit prisons, maybe the Corrections Corporation of America, the CCA. And as you know, James, they're kind of dinosaur media cohorts. I had to double check who owns the Los Angeles Times. It's the Tribune Corporation, and they own pretty much all the other big last newspapers that are left in America that aren't named the New York Times and the Washington Post. So as we move to our second story this week on New World Next Week, episode 315, we move to our friends at the Free Thought Project and a story that I talked about a little bit on my morning show this morning, and I'm glad that we can actually go into it a little greater detail here. Bayer accidentally funds study showing its pesticide is killing the bees and promptly denies those conclusions. A large-scale study on neonicotinoid pesticides is adding to the growing body of evidence that these agriculture chemicals are indeed harming bee populations, to say the very least. Carried out at 33 sites in the United Kingdom, Germany, Hungary, The study found that exposure to neonicotinoids, quote, left honeybee hives less likely to survive over winter, while bumblebees and solitary bees produced fewer queens, end quote. Bayer and Syngenta, both the big makers of neonic pesticides who stand to reap massive profits if Europe lifts the neonic ban, promptly disputed the researchers' conclusions, even though they partially funded the study. The authors note that this is the first real-world experiment demonstrating direct causation between neonics and reduced bee populations and is consistent with other findings. And we will, of course, include the links to that original research entitled Country-Specific Effects of Neonicotinoid Pesticides on Honeybees and Wild Bees. James, we've kind of been covering the Bayer Monsanto monstrosity for a while. Even as recently as just a couple of weeks ago with our story, China pushes public to accept GMO as Syngenta takeover nears. Do we now just add this more proof to the towering stack of proof against the chemical food pharma cartels?
Well, we certainly add it to the stack, although I don't think this is just another story on that stack. It's a particularly important one because, as has been pointed out quite a bit over the past decade of this mass colony disorder die-off syndrome, the bees are exceptionally important to pollination of so many of the food crops that we all enjoy on a regular basis that this is not a just another story. This is a very important story for the world, generally speaking, and it is a heartening story in some ways, because at least it shows that the scientific method can win out, even despite the funding, the nefarious funding that comes from these corporations for usually whitewash purposes. Well, in this case, the whitewash was not applied, so that is something to be thankful for. On a related note to something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I remember we were talking about how the CRISPR gene editing tool isn't quite as laser-like precise as they like to say. Well, guess what? Surprise, surprise, update from GMWatch.org. Gene editing companies attack research revealing unintended CRISPR effects, talking about how two companies that are heavily invested in CRISPR are basically going after the journal that published that story that revealed that CRISPR is not quite so precise. So that's generally how this goes. Not only do they fund the studies they want, but they also attack the studies they don't like. So let's brace and wait for Bayer to start attacking this study and trying to smear the scientists behind it, as they always do. But at any rate, here it is, and it is exceptionally important. Now, that story that you're citing from does say that the Bayer and Syngenta, who make these neonic pesticides, stand to reap massive profits if Europe lifts their ban on neonicotinoid pesticides. Now, that in some ways is like, oh, yay, thank you to the European Union for being the stalwarts and banning this thing. But again, as always, if you're just crossing your fingers and hoping that the regulators sitting in the clouds will regulate things in the right way for you, then you're doing it wrong. You have to start taking the responsibility to source your own food products in a way that you know that neonic pesticides are not being used in their production. If you do not know, if you are just blindly buying things in a supermarket, you are contributing to this problem. It is up to every one of us to source foods that we know how they are grown and produced. And that isn't easy to do in a supermarket. It's a lot easier to do at a farmer's market or in when you have a garden in your own garden. That's why. That's one of the many, many reasons why we have to start bringing this down to the local level and shaking hands with the people who grow your food so that you can look them in the eye and you know who they are and you know what they're using and you can make it known that you will not support the use of these types of pesticides. And that's the only thing that will ever have an effect on this. And that's why we've won the battle against the bovine growth hormone milk and other things that have disappeared from the shelves because people refuse to buy it. And it's not so easy with pesticides because that's not direct. You don't directly know that about the product, but that's the point. You don't know what goes into these products. So that's why we have to, again, bring it down to local level and know what is going into our foods so that we can have some degree of say over this and not wait for the regulators on the clouds to make the decisions for us.
Well, now is the perfect time for that. We're right here just as you know, summer's getting kicked off. I'm sure everybody has a farmer's market probably near them this coming weekend, if not much, much sooner. So that's the time, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the action happens when you kind of hit the streets and go out and support those places. Or Like we also like to say, make your refrigerator be like your medicine cabinet, or your medicine cabinet be your refrigerator. James, there's a parallel story kind of developing in the UK right now that I also talked about on my show this morning that had to do, again, with, wouldn't you know it, with Bayer. It has to do with the AIDS-tainted blood and the long-running Factor VIII scandal. New documents show that as the UK's National Health Service's tainted blood was killing thousands, they were also planning to use those victims as guinea pigs for further research and development. That story brought to us by our friend Ray Vahi, who's also behind great things like BitChute.com, some of the solutions, ways that we are winning. James, are you ready for our third and final story this week?
Let's blast off.
We blast off to space, as we seem to at least regularly do here on New World Next Week. And we get this story from our buddy Graham Salisbury, U.S. to create Space Corps in radical Air Force overhaul. This would be another story with so many things going on that you may have missed. As part of its version of the 2018 Defense Authorization Bill, the U.S. House Armed Services Committee have voted to create a Space Corps. That's what they're calling it. A sixth branch of the country's armed forces focused on military maneuvers beyond the Earth's atmosphere. The Space Corps, which has yet to gain full approval, would absorb all of the Air Force's current space missions under the new umbrella of U.S. Space Command. It would also make the head of the new service the eighth member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The plan, which could be implemented as soon as January 2019, has been developed as part of a radical reorganization of the U.S. Air Force. Several members of the Congressional Committee claim to be blindsided by this proposal, but Mike Rogers, Republican out of Alabama and frontman for this push, argued that the plan's been in development since the publication of the Rumsfeld Commission report, a study outlining future U.S. space strategy way back in 2001. Under this new plan, all operations, for example, involving the X-Force's secretive X-37B space plane would fall under the control of the new U.S. Space Corps. The Space Corps would be the first new military service since 1947 and is not specifically banned by our old friend, the Outer Space Treaty, a 1967 international agreement outlawing the use of the moon and other celestial bodies from being used as military outposts. So I've got supplemental audio and video from the UK Independent and from NPR, but the first best stuff and what most of these other reports are reporting from and quoting from is Federal News Radio. And we're no stranger to this. We've covered this. We've covered the weaponization of space, moon tourism, and more all on New World Next Week. And of course, all those links will be in the show notes. But my favorite in the related links, James, goes to January 11th, 2001, with the AFP story and headline, quote, Rumsfeld Commission warns against space Pearl Harbor. 8 months to the day before the events of the new Pearl Harbor, James.
Yeah, it is interesting because people who've seen his confirmation hearings when he was getting confirmed for Secretary of Defense will know he was talking at that time a lot about this book about Pearl Harbor and how it was, you know, it was a surprise attack. And so that was very, very much something Rumsfeld was hyping up at that time. And as you say, the new Pearl Harbor hit just 8 months later. So interesting. But yes, a space Pearl Harbor. Can you imagine what that will look like? Maybe Project Bluebeam or something along those lines. But at any rate, I think that's in the long-term cards. I'm not sure whether that's going to happen between now and 2019 when they hope to set up this new Space Corps. But at any rate, there it is. And you're right, we have talked about this over and over in the history of New World Next Week, talking about space and the weaponization and militarization of space. It's unfolding like a nightmare right now. It is happening, and of course it's happening. Of course this is where it's going. Of course the United States is going to be pressing it and trying to militarize it because, hey, it exists and we haven't conquered that domain yet, so let's do it. Of course that's where this is all going. And unfortunately, we now have a population that has been so effectively psyoped that they literally believe that the Earth is flat and there is a dome a couple of thousand miles up. There's outer space. That's ridiculous. That's an Illuminati illusion, guys. There is no outer space. So people are now caught in those psyops and they are literally can't even talk about subjects like this because they've been taught to believe that it doesn't exist. Total nonsense. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of the people who would be joining me, and I assume you, in opposing things like this Space Corps, now are off talking about the silly PSYOP nonsense. So that's the point that we've arrived at. And, I mean, talk about anti-war going AWOL. Now there's even fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer people who genuinely care about subjects like this and will genuinely try to oppose it.
So, James, I think that's a great way to wrap up this episode. And again, of course, all those stories will always be mentioned in the show notes. So as you say, James, we turn it over at this point to the audience to continue all the research. And we also ask, of course, that you please support our independent non-commercial work via Patreon. We got Bitcoin. We got PayPal. And you can find, of course, all of those links at our own respective websites. James.
All right. Until next week. Let's do it again then. James, thank you for three great stories.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.